What is up, everyone? Thank you for joining us for our first episode of our brand new podcast. I am your, well, one of the hosts, Kenneth Junior Seward, and my co-host with me is
Teresa Ankra, also known as Messy Tessie. What's up, everyone?
and we are yeah we've been wanting to do this for a while. Just a little bit of an introduction. If you don't know me, hopefully you do. If you've been following anything UFG related, I am the editor in chief of UnitedFrontGaming.com. I'm also a freelance writer. You can find my work at IGN or EGM Now or GameSkinny, FanBite, all those great places.
What's up?
Covering video games. I've been doing so for about, I think, 13 years now. It's been a
Yeah, I think
while.
so. Yeah.
And then recently, when I say the last 3 years, been covering movies, a little bit of anime, and so doing a lot. And so now, with UFG, we typically focus on video games, and that's been our, bread and butter for like forever. But we wanted to branch out a little bit and cover some other things, because as gamers, we like more than just video games, movies, anime,
True.
and all sorts of entertainment. And so we came up with this podcast, which is called The Game Show, which stands for games, anime, movies, manga, and entertainment. I know that's two M's. It works. Just it works.
Go with us. Work with
Yes,
us, people.
definitely. And so yeah, I just want to give you an introduction of myself, and then Teresa, want to tell them about yourself a little bit?
So, basically, everything that Kenneth is into, I'm into too. He just does it professionally. He just makes money off of it. I just do it on the side. Basically, I'm the version of him you don't want to be because I maybe have talents. I just don't make money off of them. I'm that friend in the corner. I'm like, hey, I'm the cool person at the party. I may have brought the alcohol, but only one bottle. That's all I could afford.
And hopefully we're definitely want to change that. De definitely. Can't get lit off of one bottle. Well, maybe you can. I don't know. I don't drink, so maybe. But yeah,
Then you can.
we definitely and for those in the know, Teresa's new to UFG, but she's not new to me. She's my cousin or cousin-in-law. I think that works.
Yeah, we go way back to college, VCU day.
Yes. Oh man, that was, how long ago was that? That's
Let's not actually let people know. We don't want people feeling sorry for us.
Oh gosh. No, this is th that's great though. That's like, we have history is what I mean.
Yes, true.
And so this would kind of like jettison this, us into the podcast is because we talk about this stuff all the time and we have great conversations. So we figured podcast makes sense. So with that out of the way, what have you been doing recently in terms of like gaming, anime, manga, all that good stuff?
So one of the first things I've been doing is wondering or lamenting over my purchase of the Xbox One in 2016, I believe it was, and not in a bad way. Like, I love my Xbox. I just wonder why I bought it to act as like a Roku, because I could have just bought a Roku, but I bought an Xbox. I'm like, here, I woke up early. I was there on Black Friday. It was like 5 a.m. I got there and there was a bunch of people in the store not shopping. They worked there. There was one other customer. And I walk in there and I'm like, are all the Xboxes gone? They're like, no, there's some Xboxes over here. So why did I come? Because there's no one here except employees. Well, why'd you guys even open this early? Oh, we never closed. We were open on Thanksgiving. It's now Black Friday. We never closed. We've been here all night partying. Okay,
Wow.
wonderful. Can I get an Xbox? And I got the last one. I got the last 500 gig, so I didn't get a terabyte like normal people who are playing like Need for Speed or something. Anyway, so I got it because all I really wanted was what's that thing that they don't use anymore with the camera?
Oh, the connect.
The Kinect. Yeah, see, I don't even know what it's
Okay.
called. And I bought it because I really, really loved playing Dance, not Just Dance, the other one.
Dance Dance Revolution?
No, not that one. The other one. Dance Central. That's right.
Right.
Remember that game?
Yes. Yes.
And so I bought that, and it came with some free downloads and some free games. So I got this game called, like, Spark, which I never played. I never opened it. It's still in the plastic.
Okay.
And I know, it's sad. And then I got Assassins. We talked about this, actually. That was my first dive into Assassins. I got Unity at that point. And so anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up now in January 2020 is because I got the Xbox. I paid all the money, even though I got a good Black Friday deal and I bought a bunch of games. But I do not play as much as I would like to, even with this whole, you know, me kind of being at home this year. I haven't been playing, and I would love to play more. And I even bought some games over the summer. I actually bought Assassin's Origins. And okay. I played for a little while. Not that I wasn't interested. It was actually a lot of fun, but I kind of just finds myself doing, I'm like, okay, I can't sit down and play because then I'll be playing for 4 hours and I need to wash dishes. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah, just, adulting. Yes.
Exactly. Adulting, which completely is a trap and no one should do it. And yes. Playing games is so much more fun. And yes. So if we could just figure out how to get around this adulting thing, we'd all have better lives. So yeah. Anyway, back to the main point of what I've been doing. I've been processing my purchase of 4 years ago and trying to find ways to entertain myself again by using the Xbox in more ways than a Google Chromecast. So that there's that. I did play Tekken the other day at my nephew's, which was fun.
Good choice.
Yeah. But other than that, outside of gaming, I'm still reading some manga. I'm just now getting back into watching some animes again and just watching shows in subtitles in general. I mean, that's something we connected on back in the day.
Yes.
You know, but let's be real, it's like 18 years ago. And so I'm just now getting back into, after I took like a hiatus for a year because I just didn't have the emotional capacity to watch things with subtitles anymore. And I love watching anything foreign. That's part of me. And so I just got into Terrace House. Oh, amazing Japanese reality show. It's like The Real World without all the cursing and the fighting and the drunkenness.
That's interesting.
That sounds boring, but it's amazing.
Would you, it's funny you say that, because my wife, your cousin, is actually, she's watching Korean versions of those type of shows, and it's the same thing. It's not the same reality that we have,
right?
But it's extremely interesting.
It is, because for some reasons the Koreans know how to do drama. They do.
Without drama. It's weird.
So good. So good. American shows got to take a lesson.
Yeah. But then again, I don't know if it would sell over here outside of Netflix, because that's kind of where we binge that sort of thing. But outside of Netflix, they kind of want the crazy. They want the ratchet. So
they want the ratchets. It's so sad. I mean, and I watch like other shows like Love Island. But again, I like the UK version. I don't watch the American trash version because it's just not interesting. It's like, I don't need to go on TV. I don't need to turn on my TV to watch what's happening at my neighbors. Like, I watch the British version. I love the slang that they use, you know? They're like, hey, what's the crack? You know? And I'm like, oh, I'm using that term. Well, second. And I'm like, I really like you right now. And everything about you is horrible. You're a horrible person. But the lingo is, I want to adopt that. And that's why I watch you.
That's cool. So I think with me, well, this year's been a little rough starting out.
Yes, it has.
And so I had a lot of, coming from 2019, I had a lot of, I guess, backlog, but not so much of just games, but stuff that I have to write for.
Yeah.
Things that I was reviewing and things of that nature. And so I'd be kind of like catching up on that. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, watching a ton of anime.
Mm-hmm.
I have an account on Crunchyroll. And
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching. So I have like, you know, you have your queue or whatever. I have, because I finally caught up with to One Piece, which took all of like 2019 to do. And for those who don't know, it's 900 and some episodes of a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's, but the thing is, if you stick with it,
Right.
because the first 100, I think, are just not good at all. But if and that's sad to say, right? Like, you have to really stick with the show. But
I know.
if you do stick with it, there's a lot in terms of there's a big emphasis on friendship that I like a lot,
Yeah.
and the pirating world and the craziness that goes on with that. It's
Yeah.
really good. There's things that are drawn out, but that's anime. Like, they have to stretch stuff, right? But
Definitely.
aside from that, it's really good. Also watching Boruto and
Hey.
Attack on Titan, which we're going to talk about later.
Yes.
And I've been watching, actually, let me pull it up. Because I can't remember. I'm horrible with names.
No
Oh
worries.
yeah, My Hero Academia.
Okay.
Definitely watching that. And I started watching a new anime recently called, I think it's The Paradise or The Paradise Lost. It's about orphans who live in a, they're in an orphanage, and kids just start coming up missing. It's a horror-based anime, and you come to find out that they're, you know, the people that are taking care of them aren't who they seem, and all this other stuff. It's really interesting, and I just started, but yeah, watching a lot of anime there. And
Great.
let's see, been playing video games. So for my birthday, which was the 21st, so not too long ago,
Really? How did I miss this?
life.
Actually, yeah, you're right. It was life. You're yeah.
Life
That
just kinda.
is 109,000% accurate. You are right.
Yeah, she's a mean one sometimes. And so I got a bunch of you know, I got different gifts and everything, which is crazy because I typically don't get gifts, but I got video games. And so I've been trying to jump into different games and just kind of hang out. There's one that I'm playing, a friend of mine got me today, actually, is Temtem. It's like Pokemon, but like an MMO.
Okay.
And it's really fun. And so
Okay.
playing that.
I'm gonna stop you right there. As soon as you said MMO, because you know I'm all about the MMOs. Unfortunately, I start playing the MMOs, and then next thing I know, I don't exist anymore. I'm just part of that game. Real
Oh,
people. My
goodness.
dog doesn't get fed. My sister's yelling at me. Like I, me and the MMOs, we have to have a conversation. Continue.
See, that's where adulting comes in. That's that it helps you in that sense. But yeah, and so trying to get back in the flow of things, getting back into riding on a regular, and you know, there's new ventures like this podcast that I'm getting into. And so kind of busy in a crazy way.
Definitely busy, yeah.
Considering all the stuff that is happening this year, and you know, with kids and all this other stuff. And yeah, so just trying to, I'm at the same time though, I'm trying to slow down and actually be around people, speak to people, and being an introvert, that could just fall apart at any second.
Hikikomori, that Japanese word for, you know, an introvert who doesn't leave the house. That's not you.
Yeah, almost.
It's
It's being able to work from home. Like, yeah, it's almost. But
me.
it's a friend of mine made a joke where they're like, you know, all the introverts should get together, and
And be alone.
we no like no we're gonna plan a day where all the introverts get together, and we can talk about being introverted and how we can, you know, expand and get out. And we're gonna set up a meeting, and no one's gonna
No
show up.
one's gonna come. No one's gonna
No
come.
one's gonna show up. But yeah, and so one of the things though with watching a lot of anime is just getting into a bit of escapism a little bit,
Yeah.
where you get to go to this world where, you know, people throw fireballs from their hands and all this other stuff, similar to gaming. And interesting enough, that's been helpful in terms of dealing with the craziness of this earlier part of the year.
Yes, exactly.
And so that's where, you know, like checking out One Piece and or the things in, you know, a scene in like My Hero Academia where people are making, or the characters are making a big deal out of like something really, really tiny. And it's like, huh, that must be great to be able to like not worry about, you know, I mean, granted they have people, you know, there's chaos,
Yes.
but some of the like smaller moments where they really kind of like overanalyze certain things. It's like, wow, it must be great to be able to just sit and do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time. I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. That escapism is real. It that's kind of how I approached like my teenage years and growing into adulthood with anime. And I know that I wouldn't have been able to get through part of my life without it. It definitely was a safe haven for me. With any of the issues that I was having as a young adult or as a teenager and just growing up, I found such joy in some of the animes that I ended up watching back then. I mean, there was obviously when I was younger, it was like Sailor Moon and moved on to Dragon Ball Z and Gundam Wing, things like that. But moving into the 2000s, and I found other things like Zettai Shonen, and kind of the genre started changing. So it was like slice of life I got to watch, which was, you know, just very, very real. And if I didn't want to deal with real life, I could kind of move on to something else. But
right.
I mean, one of my favorites of all time that I just cannot get over was The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. Because I watched that and I'm like, oh my God, that is me on television. But of course, it's not me on the outside. That's me on the inside. I'm a psycho, just like she is. And I love the preface of the entire anime of this girl. Like the fact that this entire world really was created by her. And it was all based on her stability. And that these beings showed up to make sure that the world stayed stable, just to make sure she was entertained. That's why it was called The Melancholy. Her melancholy was the disaster, the what do you call it, impending doom.
Right.
And I what's the word? What is that word? Where yet I felt the same way as her.
Right.
From my younger years, like I was an adult watching this. I was in my earlier 20s or something. I don't remember. I don't know. I could have been 40 at that time. Doesn't matter. So, but I definitely, identified with that. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I've had to use, or I shouldn't say use, but anime, games, and any other real form of entertainment is a great way to be able to deal with your life, because you still need that little bit of happy, you still need that little bit of escape, something else,
right,
so that you can continue with your daily what is life, which is not the easiest thing on the planet. So
no, it's definitely not. It's definitely and it is cool. Like I remember watching. So some of my favorites are like Cowboy Bebop,
yes,
and Samurai Champloo, and a lot of it because of, outside of the really cool characters, was them incorporating music into everything. Like the fact that there was an episode of Samurai where the characters are beatboxing, like because I know Cowboy was all about, you know, jazz, and then Samurai was hip hop. And to see an episode where they're like breaking the fourth wall almost, in the sense that they're beatboxing while they're like explaining something to this character. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, why aren't we talking about this? Like, this is awesome. And then also appreciating the artwork, being an artist background. And seeing like the you can see the artists in the work, which is really cool. Especially nowadays where we have a lot of the 3D stuff. Not that I don't like it, but it's really great to see penmanship, to see, you know, the line of the pencil. Like in certain of the older animes, you can actually see that.
Style.
The styling and whatnot. Think of even like a lot of the old movies, or not movies, the shorts, not. It's I forgot what it's called, the OVAs, I think it's called.
Oh yeah, the original video anime.
Yeah, so it's like they were like a little bit longer than, you know, typical anime, but they weren't exactly like a feature film. But like seeing like Armitage III and Aria and a few others, like like seeing the like I would watch that and go draw and like make my own characters after
Exactly.
watching it, because it was amazing.
Extremely inspiring.
Yes, I think one of my favorite though is, I want to say, a movie called Metropolis,
Oh, Metropolis.
I believe it's a mm-hmm. it's inspired by the German film, the old yeah. German film,
mm-hmm.
and the artwork is amazing in that film. Even now, it's and I know we have, like, you know, Studio Ghibli and all that, like, but this was like, I think that and Steam Boy were like some of the first ones I saw, and of course, was Akira, but like, these were the first ones where I was like, you know what? That would be cool. That would be cool to do. And I've always wanted to animate, but like mm-hmm. to animate in that styling, I was like, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Because it just looks amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Metropolis was beautiful. It was really beautiful. I remember being in school and when that came out, and I got it on VHS. Here we are talking about our age again.
Right.
But got it on VHS. I think I was the one who brought the VHS player to school in my dorm. So mm-hmm. we were able to watch it. I didn't actually like the movie itself. I wasn't moved, but that's another conversation. I've changed a lot, like my personality, just maybe like not so much. I think it's inside. I think I used to have like this part of me inside that had no emotions. I didn't feel things. So there were a lot of things that didn't move me. And so I remember not being moved by it, but I loved the animation. And I remember turning it off the sound and watching it and enjoying the animation, is obviously, especially the part where she starts to break apart.
And yeah.
I mean, that's the climax. So when I remember feeling like I waited the entire time, the entire movie, how 2 hours just for that scene, but it was a beautiful scene. And we know how much work goes into a feature film that's fully animated. And so I appreciated that art so much, because I rewound it and turned the sound off and watched it like 8 times. Come on.
I've never done that, but I did buy it. I did buy it. I bought it on DVD. I want to say that same year. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, man, this is nuts.
Yeah.
I think one for me like that though, was, I think Steam Boy, was that way for me. Like mm-hmm. its story wasn't that grand to mm-hmm. me, but the cityscapes, the steampunk, okay. you know robotics and stuff like that, like just seeing the amount of work that went into it, it was great to just, like, as a visual thing to just watch, even if you don't really care about the characters and story too much.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if you like Steam Boy, no offense. it didn't do it for me, but
these are unofficial opinions, everyone.
Yes, these are opinions, because I know how some people get about certain clubs there.
Exactly.
But yeah, like the visually, and I think like there's a lot that goes into an anime in terms of that, because I've noticed, like, with some of the anime that I'm watching now,
mm-hmm.
where the studio, I guess they couldn't afford to keep paying the people. And so the writers would all be the same, but then they would have to hire another team to animate. And then you would see the decline of the visuals.
Exactly.
I noticed that with the 10 Deadly Sins. And their latest season, I want to say, is like that, or at least from what I've seen. And the visually has dropped, and it's like, man, like, I really wish this was, you know, they could have kept it up.
Mm.
And it's, I guess, because you have all this other anime coming into the U.S. that is more popular. It's hard to kind of, like, you know, kind of get your name in there, especially when they're doing similar things in terms of a team of super beings fighting another team of super beings. And so, like, but noticing it, I guess, from a consumer standpoint, it was like, man, this is rough. This is really rough.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like, I can't be too hard on them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading a story recently about how a lot of anime studios have kind of turned us like this sweatshop environment,
where that's sad.
People are like crunching to get the you know, the episodes out on time, and to kind of keep up with the, you know, the manga, and to keep things at such a high level for so long. And people like, you know, in some places going on, you know, suicide report or like suicide watch, because it was like just they just had to work all the time. And it's crazy. It's similar to the game industry, actually. There's been a lot of big stories breaking there, too, about crunch and how people are just overworked and not paid enough and all this other stuff. And so it's that type of thing is also in the anime industry. And it's rough because on our end, it's like, this is amazing. Like, give me more. But then you're like, when you start to hear about these stories, it's like, oh, like, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, if it looked a little less, if you guys could breathe.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. We don't, I mean, like, we always want our product at the end of the day. We're addicted. But no, we don't want anybody's lives to be on the line. And it's very sad because, yeah, I have heard about this in the gaming industry. I feel like maybe that was something that I looked up or maybe even heard somewhere close to the award time. Game awards time, I think I had heard about that, and I was like, wow, that hurts me to hear, because I know how long it takes for them to come out with these games. I remember being younger and learning how to play PlayStation 2 finally, and learning how to play SSX, the snowboarding game, and then Tricky came out a couple years later, and then the time between Tricky, which was an amazing game, to SSX3. There's a lot of time in between because they're building, they're making this game, finding out what didn't work and what worked in the last game. And to think about like the enjoyment factor that you get from this game, but then to also think that people's blood, sweat, and tears is in this. And the fact that, I mean, people were going on 90 hours of work, no sleep, like, maybe
we
should dial it back.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy, and it's something that consumers don't. I mean, you don't really hear about it.
Yeah.
And so you know, I'm glad. And granted, we're kind of off on a tangent, but who cares?
That's what this is about.
It's the learning about it. It kind of puts some things in perspective. Like I reviewed last year. Red Dead Redemption 2, big game, from Rockstar, and I scored it an 8 out of 10, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good game, and that there were certain things that were overdrawn, especially story-wise, and there was such an attention to detail that it actually got in the way of the gaming, where because it's physics, you know, there's real physics and things like that, and so just walking around to your horse can be, you know, kind of irksome because you just want to, like, snap to him and just, you know, ride away. But because it's real, you have to actually go up to him, and I mean, it sounds small to explaining it, but when you play it for hours on end, those little things where, like, you know, your guy can't run here, or he stumbles here, or he does this, it's like, I don't want real life, I just kind of want, you know, the game. And but then on the learning about, like, that, all the things that went into it, it's like, wow, I'm not appreciating these things. It's like, or not, I should take that back. What I mean by that is that all that effort went into making this the most realistic cowboy sim you can think of, and yet it doesn't translate to a good time. I mean, visually, it's amazing, right?
Right, right.
Like, it can rain, and that soaks the character's clothing, and when he steps in mud, like, his boot prints are left behind, and it's just awesome to see. But then it's like, after hours of playing, you're like, I just want to get to the next story or the next story beat or whatever, the next chapter. And a lot of it gets missed. Like, there's some things in the game that people never see.
Right.
But these people are crunching and working and losing their minds over, you know, I remember there was I can't remember the guy's name. There was a developer who the game got pushed back a little bit. And people were like, you know what, it's great. The game was delayed. That means they didn't want more time to work on it. And one of the developers was like, no, like, yeah, we'll have more time before it comes out, but we actually have to work double now because we pushed the game back to a later date. We have to stick by that date. So even though we technically have more time, we actually are working twice as hard because, you know, they want to get it out by that date that they pushed back to. And even though they won't come up to you and say, hey, we need you to work overtime, it's kind of like, well, it's kind of like where they kind of encourage overtime. And, you know, if you don't take it, you feel like you might lose your job, even though they're not saying that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like things like that was like, wow, that's a horrible position to be in. You know, and then people don't even enjoy it. Like, I mean, granted, it won Game of the Year. It was, you know, I mean, it was, or either it was like second, you know, runner up. I think God of War won Game of the Year, but it was up there in terms of like the accolades and things like that. And it sold a lot, but like individual experiences, it's like, yeah, like we didn't even, I didn't care that the snow was so fluffy. I really didn't. It was rough.
That is rough. And even like when you think about it and you think of all the people who consult even on these things, where it's almost as if we've reached this point in technology where we have, 4K TVs and we're trying to do our best to get beyond that, whatever the human eye can actually see. And we're doing our best to make things so lifelike to the point where, so many computer programs or whatnot have the ability to make hair look more realistic in CGI and all this kind of stuff. We're doing every little thing to make the virtual reality. We're doing everything. But
Right.
at the same time, we're forgetting that we wanted to escape reality in the first place. That was the whole point of us playing these games. It was a distraction, and we could enter a different world where we didn't mind. Like, it's kind of funny to think about it, but you know how when you played Grand Theft Auto and you're like, yeah, man, I'm getting into a fight. I'm beating somebody up. They're not going to die in real life, but I'm beating them up,
Right,
right?
right.
And so there's also, but you can beat the person up or whatnot and steal their money. But if you walk maybe a block down the street, there's another person who looks exactly like that same person.
Exactly,
And
yeah.
you can either feel better that, hey, that person's still alive. Or my point being is that there's an unrealistic feature to it that we know what we're doing is fake. So the game makers are now doing everything they can to make things realistic. But at the same time, it's like, let's not forget why we're here in the first place.
And you know, in a sense that I get it, in a sense, because like if you're doing, let's say, like Madden or you know 2K, you want a realistic sport experience. I get it, especially if you're trying to, but even then that's still kind of escapism, because like I'm never going to play in the NBA, but I can control LeBron in
Wait, are you
2K.
sure you're
And
never gonna play in the NBA? I mean, never say never.
shoot, I am way over the hill for that.
Will we get it, receive it?
No.
Oh, by the way, that's my quote. It's trademarked. Don't even try to take it, people. It's believe it and receive it. Okay.
I God is like,
Not today.
nope. I didn't make you for that, fam. Nope. But yeah, like I can play as, you know, I can play as LeBron, you know, on the Lakers, and it's cool. It's cool to pretend or have like a realistic sense of pretend, where even though I'm not, you know, a difference between like Mario and LeBron, right? Like Mario's way out there, you know, with magic mushrooms and everything, and LeBron's playing basketball. So you can have both. But the idea is that like, okay, is the realism that you're implementing, is it hurting the game? And some people might disagree, but you know, if we're looking at it in terms of a video game and putting everything in for the person to have fun or have a great experience, and you're working really hard to get, you know, things to look great and all this other stuff, but then people just don't care when they buy the game. You know, that's kind of like, and in their sense, or like in Rockstar, it's kind of rough because that's what they're kind of known for. Like even though they've gotten, you know, their games are basically a giant, you know, giant satire. Visually though, and like what they do and how they implement certain things, it's grown each time. Like GTA 5, this is the biggest game ever almost. Like it's nuts. Out, you know, and in outside of like the free to play stuff like Fortnite, like it's nuts. And
It
so like
is
the next
nuts.
GTA has to be even bigger. like
I know.
like that's, and so like I can understand someone being like, you know what, Rockstar is legendary, I don't want to work there though. I could totally be like, hey, but it's not to even pick on Rockstar, because I do like the games that they produce.
Yeah, we love Rockstar.
It's other people too. You know, we hear stuff from EA and Activision and all these other places where crunch is you know, for lack of a better term, killing people.
Yeah.
And so it kind of it takes you back a little bit when, yeah. Not to say that if I was ever reviewing something, you know, anime, movie, whatever, that I would kind of take that into consideration, because at the end of the day, the product is what we're looking at. I mean, there's critical think pieces that you can kind of pull from and different stories and things, but it's at least me for a review, I might not pull that in, but as someone who's playing, I might be like, you know what? I'm not so upset that this isn't as grand as it could be, or I'm not so upset that this took a little longer. Like I'm thinking more so like, okay, are these people okay after all of this?
Yeah.
And same thing with, you know, going back to anime, like, you know, when I first saw the Deadly Sins or whatever, the animation, I was like, this is really rough. And and then I thought about the other studio and was like, maybe they got burnt out and you know, this might be able to save them some time with it being the animation versus, you know, the more normal hand drawn stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of rough. It's like you want to enjoy it, but you don't want people to die. So then we have this idea, or we have this thing where, like, I think the only middle ground would be something that doesn't come out. Like, it gets pushed back or you know, what was it? I think Attack on Titan was, like, 2 years after the second season came out or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what went on in that studio. I didn't even research it. I didn't. We were all just like, wait. We just wanted to know. We're like, what's going on? Because season one, we got 20, you know, the standard, what, 23, 24, 25 episodes or something. And then it took forever for season two to come back. And we only got 13 episodes out of season two. But if we're going that direction, I mean, we can talk about that after we talk about burnout. but I mean, even on that subject, it took 2 years. But I have to say, from somebody who reads the manga, that season two of Attack on Titan was the biggest redemption the manga could have had, in my opinion, in my honest opinion. That's how I feel.
Yeah, it came, I'm looking at it now, it was 2013, the first season, and then 2017 for the second one?
That's crazy. And it shouldn't be like that.
Oh my God. I mean, like, look, take your time. But I know. God, like,
yeah, I know.
That's, I forgot about it.
A lot of, and I'm going to be real, I didn't forget about it because I binge watched the entire season one, in one night. Yeah, I mean, it's and great. I'm not joking. I watched every episode, the entire, I got home from work. I don't remember if I watched it in a week, but I had to go to work the next day and I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep the entire night. I remember my roommate telling him, I was like, you don't understand. The show was amazing. And he was watching it too. And I was like, okay, well, I do have to go to a job that I hate, but I'm watching this. I mean, maybe it took me two nights to actually finish it, but like, and the only time I've ever done that again with like a 20 something episode was with, what's it called? Death Note.
Okay.
Crazy things that like, anyway, we're, you know, but no, you're right. It's, taking care of the creators, you know, the employees, the artists, the everyone who goes into this form of entertainment for us, the consumer, like, we drop our hats to you, you know, we bow to you, but you got to take care of yourselves. And it's sad because if that means pushing back the project, I mean, we can at least appreciate it because we know the project's going to be great when it comes out. I know that their issue is it's always money. The bottom line is always that dollar, because there are investors, there are all kinds of people involved with these dates. And if the product is there by then a bunch of people get in trouble. And I wish that there was some, you know, something in the works, some sort of control in the works so that employees are not suffering this suicide and just the overworking deaths, you know, the people who are working 45 hours straight and then collapse of a heart attack. That's not okay. And that's something that the industry has to take a little bit more seriously. And I hope, like, moving forward, they will.
Right. So to get off that bit of a sour note, did you see the big well, maybe you didn't. So I feel like Netflix trolled me a little bit, and I was really upset. It was actually my fault. Now I'll explain in a second.
Yeah, explain. But
Netflix, so I'm on Twitter, just chilling. And
We all are.
Netflix comes up and they're like, hey, I want to say 10, I think 10 of the films, the studio, Ghibli, I think that's what it's pronounced, that their films are coming to Netflix. And they had a listing of like, you know, when the films would come. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. Cause I haven't seen them all. Mm-hmm. And I was literally about to purchase like a bundle of them because they were on sale. And I was like, oh, I don't have to do it. This is going to be great. This is going to be great. I can't wait. And then so I was reading about it and I was like reading like, oh, okay, so they're going to come out this time and then this time. Awesome. And then it was like, oh, but it's only going to be, I think, in Europe and in certain other countries. And I was like, wait, it's not going to be in North America or Japan?
Trash.
I was like, what? And then I was like, no Netflix, bad Netflix, no.
Netflix, bad Netflix.
I went to Twitter and it was like, I didn't realize that a friend of mine had retweeted the UK Netflix Twitter account and not the American one. So it was totally my fault.
Well,
that said,
go to your Netflix.
Oh my gosh, I was so happy. I was like, this is my birthday week. I'm getting all these gifts. I'm having a great time. I went to see Bad Boys. And then I was like, I'm going to watch anime. It's going to be awesome. This is a great announcement. And then it was like, no, you get nothing. I'm like, I hate all of you.
Yeah.
I do.
That's not okay. But on a side note, who do we know in the UK that can give us a Netflix password? Thanks. Drop the comment below.
Yes. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I totally, there's a bunch of them that I haven't seen. And
yeah, me too.
Super upset that I couldn't get that. I was like, no, why? And I get it. I want to say that there's contract issues. Same thing with Disney Plus, where they, you know, the studios had given them the rights to other streaming services. Mm-hmm. And until those contracts are up, we're kind of screwed. It's like, but man, I was right.
A letdown.
Yes. A huge letdown. Like that's, I think it was more than 10. I think it was 12 or something like that. But it was a lot of them.
That was like a Christmas and a birthday present, and they just robbed it from you. And that's not okay. So Netflix, if you're listening, I need you to remedy this.
Something. Like, give me a free month or something. Like, that's just, I was so distraught. I just got off Twitter. I was like, I don't even want to.
Right.
It's crazy because, like, crazy political stuff happening. That didn't bother me. It was that. That's what made me angry.
To that.
It's like, goodness gracious. So, beyond the troll, we do have to talk about Attack on Titan.
It's
an awesome show, awesome manga, apparently. And we definitely need to talk about Attack on Titan. I want to say the last season is supposed to come up this year. Or come out this year.
So.
And I am, I can't wait to see how this thing concludes.
Yeah.
Because it is nuts. But before I get into why it's nuts, I guess I gotta for the people who don't know what Attack on Titan is,
Shingeki no Kyojin.
It's a story about. You know what? I know so much information that I feel like I'm gonna spoil it.
We'll do it this way. And you know what? Because I had a side note before we even get into this. So you know how sometimes you have to talk to people and they're not anime watchers. Either they don't know anything or they automatically assume the worst about anime. So it's like you know, every time you let go that little passionate secret in yourself, because you know you can't let everybody know you watch anime because half the people think you're a weirdo. But like, so you have to speak a certain way to certain people, and you also want them to enjoy what you enjoy. So I've learned I don't know what to call people who don't watch anime. You know how like in Harry Potter the people who weren't wizards were muggles, or you know, like can we create a word? Maybe by next show we'll have figured out a word for people who don't anime. Maybe we can call them like danimes, or
there you go.
Like don't anime danimals. Well, I think that's already trademarked. Anyway, who cares? But to explain Attack on Titan to somebody either who's not into it, wants to get into it, I think the best way is just that you have a bunch of people living in a place who are quite ignorant about their own existence. You know, we're in a setting, but what seems to be back in time, that's what it seems to be. And I'm back in time with, you know, horse and carriage style life. And there is an enemy that is so disastrous towards them that is, it's always been an impending doom that there's this enemy outside of where they live. It's an old style place. So they've got walls, they've got city walls in their kingdom. And there are these, you know, super tall, super tall monsters that want nothing to do but to eat people. And they're living their life protecting themselves from that and ignorant to anything outside. And so I typically try to explain it in that manner without going too far. And
that works.
That works, you know? I would hope to get somebody interested in saying it like this, because I did this. There was a girl. She was my friend. She lived in my, she worked in my apartment building at the concierge desk. And I had another friend who worked here who was a graphic designer. She was trying to explain it to her, like, straight on. And the girl's like, I'm not interested in this. So I had to give it, I gave it to her this way. I said, look, there's some people and they live in the hood. All right. They live in the hood. Like, they're poor. They ain't got nothing. Like, they're scrappers. You got this little girl who's 12. She fighting boys twice her size, you know, this, that, and the other. They live in the hood. And, you know, everything's normal. It's a normal day. La, 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 la. It's time to go to school. It's time to do this. Let's play. There's three people, boy, girl, boy. They're all friends. And next thing you know, somebody rings an alarm and they're like, oh my God, the enemy is here. Da, 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 da. You're like, what? What's about to happen? And the next thing you know, these huge monsters show up and they're like, by the way, you might want to run. Everybody starts running. These people live in not a great place. There are no cars. There's no way to escape. Everybody's like, we have to get out of here. We have to move further into the city. Like, everybody needs to run and take shelter. But these monsters show up. They're basically big, tall humans. They're like, you know, 100 feet tall. And all they want to do is eat you. And so these people are running, and this little boy, he's like, wait, I got to go home. I got to find my mom. Like, my dad's gone. I got to go get my mom. And they're running back. Everyone is running the opposite way. You've got the military. You've got everybody out there. And they're like, hey, where are you kids going? You need to go this way. No, I need to go get my mom. And this little kid is running to go and get his mom. Next thing he knows, his mom is covered by their house, which fell on top of her. She's still alive. They're like, I'm going to save you, mom. I'm going to pull these bricks. I'm going to pull this wood off of you. She's telling her son, save yourself, run. And next thing you know, a great military guy shows up and he's like, don't worry, I'm going to protect your kids, and grabs these kids to run. And this little boy is looking at his mom, reaching for her while this guy is carrying
him. We don't want to spoil everything.
You know? But that's what you guys need to see. You guys need to watch this show.
Definitely. You can kind of guess what happens, but it's a great show, and it reminds me of, it's like apocalyptic, but not in a sense that how these people have been living for generations. And, you know, because even in that first episode, that there hadn't been an attack for years, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so, even for them, it was like, what the heck is going on? Like, where is these people coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when you see, you know, what they look like, I mean, it's not, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, with them eating people is, you know, zombie or, you know, cannibalism or whatever, but they're giant, you know, people, and they're like, in the sense that they have like a human form, right? But there's not, they're kind of missing the features, if you will, and they look almost have like a blank, you know, appearance or look on their face, and they kind of remind you of zombies, but you know, these giants move, some of them move pretty fast, and you know, towering over people and then just grabbing them and putting them in their mouths, and so in one sense it's terrifying to kind of see. But then another, it's like, I've never seen anything like this.
Right.
You know, and then you start to, you know, find out about these characters and how they combat these creatures who can also heal themselves. So that's great, right?
Right.
but one of the things that kind of drew me in early, which is, not to sound morbid, but was how dark it was.
Yes,
because it one of the comic I like to read is the Walking Dead comic, and one of the things that it does that the show doesn't really do is anybody. It feels like anybody can die at any time, and the stakes are really, really high because anyone can die. So, you know, when you're reading a comic or you're watching anime, there's this idea that yes, yeah, someone can die, but we know this person isn't going to die because story, right?
Right.
And in the sense, obviously, they're telling a story, so certain people have to live. However, with Attack on Titan, there have been plenty of times where I was like, oh, this person is going to make it to the next scene or, you know, the next series, and they don't even make it to the next scene.
Nope.
And was really interesting was that not everyone gets that heroic slow motion death. Like some people who had big speaking parts are taken out really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's a shock to the system.
It is.
And with that, and like I said, not to sound morbid, I'm not happy because people die. What I'm saying is that it made every excursion or mission or whatever that much more important because you don't know who's coming back.
Exactly.
And so like
we're sitting on the edge of our seat.
Exactly.
All of our expectations of a typical, a typical anime or just a typical story in general are being shot. Like, I'm biting my nails. I'm like, oh my God, this is my favorite person. Are they going to come back? Like, they can't, you know? So yes, I'm with you on that. I love that about this story.
And that's one thing I will also warn people is that it's really thick. The first season is the dread and sense of, the idea that we can't win, we can't possibly win, is laid on thick, to the point of like, you know, like this is kind of sad, like but there's a lot of character, a lot of heart, a lot of growth that comes from watching these characters kind of struggle their way through to season two and then on to season three, and
right.
And you are, because their struggle is so. It's so tough to kind of watch at times. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're kind of with them on that.
Yes.
You know, as they move through the paces and as they get stronger and get better, which is a side note, which is why I think a lot of the anime or films that deal with people in school work really well is because you see your hero grow.
Yes.
And it's the same thing here because the survivors who come back, because the way it's set up is like there's multiple walls and each wall kind of separates from another town or their city. And so if you're in the most outer walls are like the poorer people and like the inner walls are like the, you know, the rich people. And then once you get beyond that, that's like the kings and queens type of thing. Right. And so the people who make it to the next wall, they enlist because they want to stop what's happening. You know, there's the idea of like, you know, we don't want this to happen to anybody else. But then there's also this idea of revenge for all the people we lost. And, you know, we need to retake the wall and all this other thing. So these are a lot of emotions. But then on top of that, you have this hierarchy in terms of people and class. And so there's a lot of stuff that gets mixed in there that, like, makes these stories, like, really, really interesting. And this is not even, like...
Layered.
Yes, and this is not even like the coolest twisty, you know, we're gonna hold off on that but like there's a lot of twists and turns that is like especially I wanna say season two and season three. Season two, things kind of speed up a little bit. And three, there's like they just smack you in the face with like information. You just take it. You're gonna know everything. it's crazy. And because there's no filler.
Yeah, I don't know this for sure, but I thought I read this online maybe some years back, which is why my memory is not so fresh on it. But I think they were very the author was adamant about that. I do believe that he has. I'm not sure if he has creative control, but they chose not to go the, you know, Naruto route. They didn't want to do that, and said they made their little sideshow, the Attack on Junior High.
Yes.
But which was cute. You know, I think I watched like two episodes of it. But it just wasn't, I mean, come on. It was like, we finished season one on the note that we finished season one. And then I was like, watch this little happy go lucky. No, I'm not ready for that. You can't just turn it off and turn it on like that. My most predictions for it. No, I'm sorry. You scare the crap out of us, you know, in season one, on the close of season one. And then you have this little sideshow where people are running around on the top of roofs. I forgot my lunch. That's not how I feel. I can't think about lunch when a 60,000-foot monster is chasing and eating people I care about.
No one's worried about your bologna sandwich. We are worried about people.
Unless, well, it depends on what lunchbox it was in. Like,
well, yeah. You know. I mean, you know, you got to eat. But still, like, there's a lot of layers. And the fact that there's no filler, every episode is important.
It is.
And I think that they do a good job with the pacing. And like I said, there's parts where it speeds up, but it's like right before the line of being overwhelming.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cross it.
Yeah.
And you might have to go back, but for the most part, they have a really good pace. And for all those people who don't like animes that go on forever, aka One Piece, this is only going to be four seasons. It's going to be four seasons. And the first season was 25, the second season was 12, mm-hmm. and the third was 22, I believe.
Mm-hmm, I think so. 22 or 23, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not super, super long. But it's dense and really, really deep with the things that happens in the story. I also
there's one thing I didn't like about this show, and I guess the manga. My only drawback is that this happens. This does seem to happen in a lot of, you know, shonen anime and manga, where you have a male lead, and then there is there's a typical formula. You have male lead, regular average person. Male lead finds some source of power and is, you know, either misunderstood or greatly adored, and then male lead becomes extremely doubtful in self and loses said power. And my only issue with this in particular is that it started so strong and there's so much depth and darkness and realness to the fabric of this anime that I felt like parts of season one, or maybe not necessarily parts of season one, but parts of season one and then the manga turn our main character into somebody that I not only do I not identify with, but I don't even want to be friends with. I don't even want to mirror.
Yeah, yeah, there are times. I think his name's Aaron, right?
His name is Aaron, yeah.
Yeah, there are times I want to punch him in the throat. Yep.
Yeah, that and maybe a double punch, maybe a shoryuken to the throat.
Yes.
Like, for real, spirit bomb. Like, he has a way, and it's like, I feel like I can't blame him. I have to blame the author, but I just, but it's just that, you know, the self-doubt, and everybody goes through that. Yeah. Especially as a teenager, everybody goes through self-doubt, but there was like this self-loathing that just continued. And then they had to roll that over into another character who ended up gaining the strength that he lost. And that bothered me because it was like, so she just gets to, you know, she just picks up this strength and is like, yay, I'm going to be a leader now. And I'm like, yay, it's a woman, empower her. But it didn't make sense to me. And I felt as though maybe somewhere in the writing that the vector just got a little lost. It just made me, and I know other manga readers were irritated with Eren because they commented online. Everybody was saying the same thing. They're like, people were saying it. And this is why when I mentioned earlier that season two does an amazing redemption of the manga, because I trudged through months and months of manga and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot deal with this. I cannot deal with Eren. I cannot deal with his emotions. I cannot deal with his self-loathing or his weakness and this, that, and the other. And other people were saying the same thing. They're like, why do we have to deal with him for so long until that wraps back up? Because obviously season two of the anime was amazing. They did very good storytelling. They made every character that we're involved with have a great backstory. I mean, Krista and Ymir's backstory
It was awesome.
Oh, amazing.
It was also cool with their story is that it ties into the rest of it. Wasn't just like, because a lot of times with anime, they'll give you a backstory just so you kind of know more about this character and what, you know, what they've gone through to kind of get to where they are. But their backstory actually ties into other people's backstories and what's happening throughout the whole series. And so it was like, and which is why I think it's cool, because it feels like nothing was wasted. Like any bit of story that you get has a purpose. And that's really, really, really cool. But yeah, like Aaron is not, he gets that way in season three, and it's unfortunate because there could be something there where I like, in a sense that I understand what you're going through. Never fighting giants myself, but I understand like, you know, there's the idea that like you could be the cause of something bad, or, you know, if you fail, we all fail. There's a lot of pressure. I think what makes it bad for me is the fact that after everything you've been through and after everything that people have done for you, for you to kind of just be like, just throw it all away. Like, it's, I don't, why are we doing this? It's like, you've gone so far. So far. It's different if this was early on when you had trouble learning how to be a soldier and trouble, you know, learning, you know, your position in the world and all this other stuff. No, you wait till like we get to, you know, stuff I can't talk about. And you kind of like, for lack of a better term, you kind of bitch up at the wrong time. Like, I don't, why would this, stop it. Like, and it's bad to say that, because it's like, obviously there's a lot going on here, but the way he does it is very, I would have liked it better if he had like a mental break.
Like, yes.
Something just snapped and he couldn't, he couldn't work. And that, that kind of, it seems like what they're leaning for season four. But if something just snaps in him and he breaks down that way, that would have been a little bit better. But to this, it felt like it was a lot of crying and a lot of,
a lot of crying.
Anybody who's seen, My Hero Academia, the main character, Dooku, like he is, it's like that, but a little bit worse, because this world is serious. Like it's way more serious than My Hero. And so it makes it hard to watch, especially when the surrounding characters are trying to rally for this person. And some of them to the point of dying. And it's like, yo, just get your, like when she finally like grabs him and slaps him and is like, yo,
Hanji, get it together. Hanji or Mikasa, what Hanji grabs?
Yes. It's just like, if you don't get it together.
Seriously.
It's like, oh my gosh.
If you don't get it together now, I will make you get it together and you won't like it. Like, and I just, I feel like it's just like what you're saying. This, there's so much at stake. There's so much in this. It is so layered. It could be real. And this is why they ran so fast into doing a live action. It could be real. It has a realistic background, especially when everything starts to come together. And it's like, if you were a real person, if we were literally in this real situation and you were the person that we were relying on, I would kill you myself. Okay. Not to, I am, NSA, FBI. I hope I don't mean that. I don't mean that.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Don't be scared. No, nah, man, bump that. I would shoot. Come on, fam. Like, no, no, no. You don't get to do that. You don't get to put everyone in this. Look, see, I want to say some stuff. We're going to talk off air. We're going to talk off air. But no, absolutely not. You don't get to be put in the position you're put in to just fumble like that. Like, it's, and it's not, and like I said, it's not, I'm trying not to say certain things, but it's not in the sense of like, something happened and he can't manage the information that he's given. It's something, it's self-loathing to the point of, I don't want to do anything and I don't want anybody to get hurt. And, but at the same time, I don't want to be a part of anything anymore. I just kind of want to just die. And it's like, you don't get to be that.
You don't get to do that.
You don't get to do that here.
If Obi-Wan was not the, you know, in Star Wars, it was like, wait, Luke, you know, Yoda said, don't try, just do. Like, if Luke was just like, yeah, I'm done. Like,
yeah, I'm just going to live out here with you. And the, like, do you know what we've been through to get you here?
Yeah.
No.
Like,
no.
People have literally died. That's not a joke. People have literally died.
Yes.
People and, that and it, I wanted to live have literally died.
And it's not even like you got And not to sound like we're bashing it, but it's not like the information that he got wasn't so new and so revolutionary that he just couldn't fathom like what was going to happen next. Mm-hmm. It was just literally like, I can't do this anymore. But this is after he had gained so much.
Mm-hmm.
He should have did this a long time ago.
Thanks. Like,
you've gotten to the point where, not that you guys are winning, because it's definitely a underdog story,
yeah.
But you've gotten to the point where the enemy is afraid of you now.
Yeah.
Like, we can actually push now. Like, mm-hmm. Come on. You know, yeah. I need you to suck it up. And the other, which crazy is like you were saying, the other characters in the story feel the same way as the audience.
Yes, they do. That's why it's so frustrating. So wait, I'm not alone in this. Oh, you guys right. who are in the story feel this way too.
It's like, oh my gosh. But aside from his mishaps, there's a lot of great character development with a lot of the character surrounding or the supporting cast.
Yeah.
And there's some things that I liked with how they were able to use someone's backstory to kind of propel them forward for certain scenes. Mm-hmm. And I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. With, Sasha is a good example.
Yeah. And learning about some of the backgrounds from the soldiers mm-hmm. and how they came to be and, you know, different people that were put in charge and why they were put in charge and how they interact with other soldiers, because the people who are actually going out and fighting Titans, the Titans are, they're not exactly seen like the Witchers, but
yeah.
they're kind of like the Witchers in the fact that people don't really like them too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's the ones that do really well who always come back. They barely lose any people when they go out. Mm-hmm. People see them as like legendary, but the people who are like below them, they're kind of like, yeah, the guards who kind of guard the cities are like, yeah, whatever. We don't really care about you people for the most part. And they kind of see their conflict come to head after learning about certain information, certain revelations was really, I want to say, cathartic a little bit because it was like this internal beef that kind of came to head. And it's like, you know what? We're not too different.
Exactly.
You know, kind of put against each other. And so that was really cool leading up to
that political stuff is important. I mean,
yes,
making things more realistic and a little bit more relatable, because at the end of the day, there are people who feel like they can't watch anime because they don't find it realistic and they're not looking for an escape. They're looking to be entertained, and it's hard for them to get past the cartoon part. It's hard for them to get past the voice acting. It's hard for them to get past the dramatic pauses and the long gazes and then all of the like stripey stuff when somebody is like going in for a hit. You have to get past that kind of stuff. But when you have a story like this that has this type of fabric, this like real political struggles between military factions, we have that. We have local police fighting the state police, fighting the feds. That's a real thing. It happens in life. And so it was important to have that in this story on top of the fact that these are young kids enlisting in life-threatening military procedures. They're kids, they're teenagers enlisting. And that's how dire their situation is, that they are fighting this enemy that they don't understand where their strength comes from. And by the age of 12, these kids have decided that they're joining the military.
And
so that, you know, that gravity is important to the story.
And it's crazy because you see that they don't make any of this cute. Like there are slight moments of, you know, where people are allowed to kind of put their, you know, kind of chill a bit amongst each other and kind of remember that they're younger. But for the most part, none of it is cute. The characters are like, when they're put in these situations, especially for the first time after learning about it, learning about what they have to do and everything, their first encounter goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, terrible.
And it's like, you know, seeing them freak out. And this is why I feel like I'm like, Aaron, like, this was the best time for you to freak out. And it would have been believable because he was the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, because of what happened, you know, before he got there, he was ready to kill everything moving. And it was like, this is what we're doing? Oh, okay. let's do that.
Yeah.
You know? And so seeing like, you know, his friends break down in front of him and crying and they don't know what to do. And then he's rallying the troops, him and his closer friends or whatever. It was like, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the stuff that happened later is kind of ruined him for me, but
yeah.
It was real in the sense that like seeing the wreckage and what has happened and the aftermath and people having to deal with that stuff.
Yeah.
We see characters actually change because of the things that they saw and experienced where they were once new recruits and now they're a little bit more hardened. They're a little bit more, you know, they're tougher because of what they've seen, but at the same time, they're damaged too.
They're damaged. And even you have the ones who are like, yeah, I want to get out of this regiment. Like, I want to go just be a regular police officer. I want to guard the royal family. I don't want to risk my life anymore. And that's realistic and it should be relatable to real life, to real people who have enlisted in the military and is like, you know what? I never want to go back. That's a real thing. And the author did a good job in putting that in there.
Definitely. And it's not to say that there's not a lot of the fantical, you know, fantasal. I can't talk. we've been talking for like an hour or some change. I can't talk anymore. There's a lot of fantasy too, like how they fight the Titans. They use these like kind of like these grappling hook like things that like shoots out their these like backpacks that they have and they kind of like swing like Spider-Man towards the Titans, and the way that they take a Titan down is to cut a certain part of their neck because they can't heal themselves when you cut them there and it kind of like takes them down a peg, and so they have to kind of like fly through the air and kind of hit them really quickly and keep moving. But what's interesting is that their blood and stuff is I guess it's like acid because it melts the metal that they use. And so they have to kind of like eject them out of their swords and like put in new, kind of like box cutters. Like they have to put new ones in then swing through the air and try to, you know, stop them. So,
you know,
it's crazy.
I'm sorry to think that that's actually where he got the idea from.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
you know, we should do some research on that. I'm pretty sure we might find somewhere in the like preliminary sketches that somewhere on the side it says like in like katakana, boksukata. Boksukata no mitai. Boksukata desu.
He was like moving to a new studio and he's like, huh.
Yes.
This tool is magnificent. But yeah, so like it's interesting seeing them fly through the air and fighting. But then so that's cool in and of itself. And then in season 3, you start to see them fighting, you know, people fighting each other using the same methods.
Yeah.
And that's really like, I even think the animation, the quality of animation goes up from there.
It does. The second season is where you see that, like, the change was like immediate. It was like, oh my goodness. The scene. Yeah.
They went in.
Yeah.
And it's great. And so that there are enough things to kind of pull you in the sense that, you know, there's political drama and there's, you know, classism and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the you know, for the normal anime viewer where you have monsters and things of that nature. And, you know, as the story goes on, you start to find out all these other cool things outside of the characters, like how some of the Titans can think. Because right now they seem mindless, they kind of like topple over walls and stuff. But then you have bigger ones with like, you know, their skeleton is like on the outside and they're able to knock over the walls, but they're doing things purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
And so the character started to learn how they're able to do these things and how they're tied to the humans that are inside the wall and all this other stuff. And it gets pretty
convoluted.
It does. And like you might have to pump the brakes.
Yeah.
In between season 2 and 3 because they hit you with a lot of information.
Yeah.
But once you get it all and you can actually wrap your head around it, it's really cool. It's really cool.
And if you're like me or us, you know, I watch these in Japanese with English subtitles. I can't do dubs even though back in the day, what I used to do was I would always watch dubs because that's how I watched it on TV. And then I would watch a dub and then I would watch it subbed because, you know, fan subbers. Anyway, so I used to watch things, little plug, subbed and then I, so I would do both just to make sure that I was understanding, because, you know, sometimes either subtitles aren't correct or things are lost in translation. And so I would do both. And now I just, I can't bear to listen to anything dubbed. It hurts me. And I think that not only do I lose brain cells, but I lose like liver cells when I listen to things.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure that I would get cirrhosis if I listened to a whole episode. I'm sure. So I don't do that. So anyway, you know, I have, you sometimes you have to watch it a few times just to make sure that you've gotten everything. And the reading is the same with the manga. It's like, wait, I need to go back a couple chapters because it's very confusing. And the manga comes out once a month. And there's a lot of information. I don't even know what season 4 is going to hold for us because there's a lot. There's a lot of source material at this point. We're at chapter 125. Okay. So we're at chapter 125 and we've made it to what, like 62 episodes. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot. And sometimes you just have to go back. You have to find out what people said. You have to, there's so much. And even in all fairness, I sometimes think that there's more than enough content. Like, I think that they could lose some of the content that they put in. There's too much, especially reading the manga, because, and I remember when we talked maybe like a year or two ago or something, I think it was like 2 years ago when I had mentioned that I was reading the manga and I had said, I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And you're like, yeah, I'm not going down that road right now.
Nope.
And that's why I continue to say, like, season 2 of the anime really made up for a lot of the jumble that was in the manga. They definitely approached it better. I think it was very thoughtful. So I'm glad that we had to wait all that time for season 2, because I think season 2 was impeccable, especially compared to the source material. They changed things the way that they happened. And at least that's what I felt. Maybe my brain was discombobulated. I don't know. But the point of me saying this is that I actually think that the author could dial back some of the stuff that is in the story. Even the things that you learn between season 1 and 2 of the anime, by the time you get to season 3, the information is so fast and quick. It's like my brain can't even process everything.
Yeah. It was like twist after twist after twist. And I was like, ah, I can't, I need time. I just, wait a minute. Like who did what now? Like, it moved really, really quickly. And it is one of those things where I think a brief, or like maybe an episode where someone just kind of like breaks things down. Like, okay, this is what we know so far based on, and they kind of do that towards the end a little bit, but only on the most, I guess, pertinent revelations. They don't go back through everything. Cause there's, you know, with anything, when someone creates a world, they have their own vocabulary.
Glossary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They know everything. We don't. And so a lot of times they'll just say it like such and such. And I'm like, wait, who was that? Like, you know, scrolling back or like going to the other episodes, like, who is the, oh, okay, that's that. Okay. Yeah. Cool. And then going back and being like, oh, okay, I got you. Cause they do that a lot. It's a lot of, everyone's important for the most part.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad in this sense.
It is. Cause there's good. A lot of characters. Well, how many, like we could list right now and not get them all. There's a lot of people.
And
where
all of them,
I am in the manga, I don't even know who these people are anymore. And there's no color, so I can't figure it out.
Right. It's crazy. It's definitely crazy.
Dare dake? That's what I want to say every time. Dare desu ka? Who are you? Where did you come from?
You related to who again? And I had to kind of... Because typically, the only anime that I can watch without subtitles are the ones that I watched that way when they came out. So... Like Samurai and Cowboy Bebop, I can watch them without it. But the newer stuff, I tend not to. But even like, there's times where I want to with Attack on Titan because things move so fast. And feeding all of this information, as you know, giants are fighting each other and whatnot. It's like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
And
they're just. What an interesting thing that they do, like, I guess when they go to commercial and back, is they'll have like a writing that kind of explains a certain aspect
I
that you just
it.
Saw.
I love those.
And it's great, but I have to pause it each time because I'm like, this is a paragraph. Like, yes. Who thought this was, come on, son. Like, did you think like, if I can't, I don't know how people watch it on TV. Like, I'm streaming it.
Yeah.
I don't know how people watch it on TV.
Pause on that. Yeah, you're right. The Attack on Titan, it's like, it is paragraphs. It really is paragraphs. It's like, we can't see this. Luckily, we have Hulu, you know, so we can hit pause. But you remember in Death Note, they did the same thing in Death Note. It was just shorter. Like, the words
were
full-on paragraphs. It was just, like, you know, small little things, like the Death Note rules. So, like, we would understand. It was, like, Shinigami means, you know, and, you know, the rules of the Death Note, blah, blah, blah. But here in Attack on Titan, it's, like, I was just watching the last episode of season 3, and I didn't even pause. I didn't even bother. I just let go. I was like, you know what? Mendokse. I was like, it's so... I couldn't do it. No. Next time.
Goodness. But, yeah, with that, it is definitely an awesome show, though, yeah. And an awesome read. There are some sticking points. And, you know, some of them we already mentioned. I don't want to go too more deep into what actually happens. Because I want people to kind of check it out for themselves. And mm-hmm. and if you have seen it, to kind of, you know, do you agree with some of the things that we're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of character development and the things that happen, the way they deliver information. Because maybe we're just not quick. I don't know. But it's a lot. It's a lot. But
yeah.
If you started, I would definitely recommend continue. Mm-hmm. It definitely lets up a little bit in terms of being so dreadful or dreary of the first season. But there's no point where you're guaranteed or you feel like that the heroes are guaranteed to win. No point do you feel that way.
Yeah.
And which makes it really cool when they do win.
Yeah.
So definitely check out Attack on Titan. I want to say, actually, I don't think they have a actual month when it's supposed to come back. It just says 2020.
I don't know. I mean, we'll keep checking. We'll keep looking because it is like one of our main top things that we're doing. I mean, if you haven't gotten into it and you're kind of worried, I mean, on Hulu, I think it says TVMA because it's a lot of blood. My nephew is 15 and I asked him if he was watching it and he was like, yeah, he started it, but he actually was scared. He started it, I think, when he was maybe like 13 or something, and he said it scared him, so he stopped watching it. And that's fair. That's fair. And I was like, you know what? And no, I understand because, you know, I watched it and I'm an adult, and there were times where I was like, so, I mean, obviously, if it's something that your kids to watch or whatnot, you just figure out, you know, how you can deal with a certain level of blood. If you can, you know, watch people getting eaten by things that look human. And I mean, there are no scenes of a sexual nature. So if you're worried about that, if it makes you uncomfortable, that's not what's there. But it's just gory. It can get gory, but really it's just the darkness of the story. It's war. And I will always appreciate an anime or anything that comes out and kind of lets you understand what it really is like to live through war. We are lucky. We live in the United States and we're not, you know, bombs aren't dropping on our head every day, but if they were, it would be like this. So,
yeah. Cause our political system's all screwed to hell. So it would definitely be like this on some craziness.
Yeah.
But yeah. And good story, awesome action.
Yeah.
And relatable. It's even though it's, you know, crazy, it's relatable in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So definitely check out Attack on Titan. I believe season 1 is still on Netflix. I'm not sure, but the other seasons are on Crunchyroll, Hulu, mm-hmm. and I think VRV. I think that's what it is. So definitely check that out. And I think that is all
for today.
But today, we've been talking for an hour and 24 minutes.
I know. Hey, you know, first, if you guys have managed to stay with us the whole time, we really, really appreciate you. And this is our first, you know, this is our first go at this together. We've covered a lot of subjects. You know, we're going to talk a lot next week about some other things. We're always going to talk about Attack on Titan. We may just get a little bit further, especially when people drop us the information and say, hey, you know, you want us to get a little bit more deep. We try not to do spoilers here. We can do another cast that has lots of spoilers. We can talk about other things on a separate cast. You know, you guys let us know. You drop some comments. Let us know how you feel. But yeah, this has been fun. We've been here for over an hour, and we hope you stayed with us.
Yes, and it's and typically this will probably be around the length that we would go for, because it's a conversation, right? We want to be able to talk and, you know, to kind of explore different topics. I have some, or I should say, we have some really cool ideas for future episodes. Mm-hmm. A little bit of housekeeping before we go away, though. Definitely follow us on YouTube. Right now, this will be the only place you can listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. However, in the future, we plan on growing and also figuring out some things in terms of sound, in terms of if we want us people to actually see us, that sort of thing. And so this is going to grow. This is just, you know, like preliminary, early, whatever. Think of it like any other podcast that gets really big who doesn't have a celebrity at the start. Things change, things improve as we learn and get better. And so you will eventually we'll have this on in places like Spotify, iTunes, that sort of thing. But right now it will be on our YouTube channel. So definitely check us out there. Check out our website, unitedframegaming.com, mm-hmm. for reviews, previews, and all that other good stuff. You can follow me on Twitter at KennyUFG. Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. I don't remember my tag, so we'll drop it in the links. Yeah, well, I think I was trying to be incognito.
Got you. I was like, So, you know, if her Twitter becomes more lively, then it would be good to follow.
Right. Right now, pictures of my dog.
There you go. And you're also on Instagram, though.
I'm on Instagram. I used to post a lot of things of the things that I baked, but then I kind of got over that. That's why I'm my Instagram is actually Messy Tessie Bakes, because I like bake stuff. But yeah, I will drop that below at messytessie_bakes. I don't really say anything funny, so I'm really the most boring person to follow. It's just, but my dog, on the other hand, has her own Instagram, and she's going to purchase a camera this year in 2020.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so she is going to be blowing up. She is. We are Hermione and her human. That's her page, Hermione the Happy Pappy. So we'll drop all that information. She plays games too. She watches anime.
She's awesome.
Everything I said was a lie. But we hope we've entertained you all.
Yes. And feel free. We will be doing this, I want to say, breaking the fourth wall a little bit, every Thursday around 9-ish. Mm-hmm. And the podcast should be up the following day, as long as life doesn't get in the way.
Yeah.
And also what we're doing right now, so you don't just see like a blank screen, is we're going to have video games being played, similar to my previous cast Between Two Sites, where there's going to be video games being played in the background. In this case, this week is going to be Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, played by Jamie, a.k.a. Blaze. You should know him from our Saturday night stream. Just to give you something to watch anime-ish while we talk. And I was going to do actual anime, but I didn't want the YouTube video flagged. So, yeah.
All those flags, unfortunate.
Yeah, because I had this cool idea. I was going to chop up the different anime and put them in where we were talking about them. But I remember doing that for some other stuff, and it was like, you do not own this content. And I was like, man, shoot. So we're not going to do that. The thing is, though, they don't really do that for video games, certain ones at least. So we should be fine.
You know what we should use next time? We should definitely use like Warriors Orochi, because nobody plays it, so nobody will flag it.
It's definitely a possibility. But yeah, I'm Kenny, and this was Teresa.
I'm Teresa,
and we bid you adieu.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.